Lord, I just pray that you fill me with your Spirit, that the words that I have to say here are the words that you have for us to hear. Open our hearts and our minds to be ready for those words. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we start today, we talked about the last couple weeks as a quick reminder of what we've been studying and the kingdom of heaven. Last week, we talked about the identity of righteousness that God gives us through his body and blood, how we can remember that we are his children. And because of that, we are his heirs. And we can live out that and share his word with others. Well, today when you came to church, you probably didn't think that you're coming to do a home inspection, did you? Anybody think that? No, you might have been coming to church, planning on being here for Bible study. Maybe you're planning on worshiping and praising God. Maybe bringing your kids to Sunday school. Maybe you came to check out the new fellowship hall walls, if you thought those were going to be here. But today, we have two home inspections to conduct. You're going to be part of this home inspection as well. See, when buying or building a house, it's of utmost importance to make sure that you inspect that house, right? Because you don't want to move into a house that has, the first time you crawl up into the attic, mold up there. Or maybe the first time you go into the basement, you see that the foundation is cracking and peeling and you don't know how long that basement's going to stand, do you? You don't want to live in a house like that. You want to have an inspector come in and tell you, you know what? That furnace is not going to last you for another year. You might want to make sure to build something into that and it costs, right? You want to have that inspector come and tell you, this is the changes that you need to do to make this house safe to live in, right? We've had inspectors come and check out some of the fellowship hall and say, you know what? That's something that probably should be fixed. That's something that should be looked at before everything is finished. Sometimes those inspectors from this city are a little extra picky, but it's to our benefit, right? We want to have that. Well, today, we're going to see some things that might shake the foundations of your soul. Look inside and see, these are some changes I need to make in my life. But we're going to be reassured that God is there to walk alongside us every step of the way, as we heard in the children's message. Today, as you heard in the gospel lesson, you're going to see two men building houses. You've got the same tools. They built the same house. They face the same test of time. They face the same test of the weather. But as much as they're alike, they're very, very different. Now you might wonder, what does building a home have to do with our Christian faith? Well, today our Lord wants us to take a pause for a moment. Take a look at how firmly we stand on his word. He wants us to look at our identity of righteousness, to recognize who we are as his kids of the kingdom. He wants you to take a closer look at that foundation on which your spiritual home is built. Is it built on the sinking sand of self-centered thinking or false teaching? Or not asking him, not talking to him in prayer? Or is it built on that bedrock of Christ and that firm foundation that he provides for us in his word? What kind of foundation do you have? You see, I've been involved in a lot more building than I ever thought I would. I've been more building in the last couple months than I ever imagined I'd be involved with. See, that's not necessarily my natural gifting. I've never been involved with that before. I'm learning, and it's interesting. You see, with that new fellowship hall and everything, I've gotten to learn all sorts of things about safety and protection and what the inspectors require and why we have to do this and do that. And we can use a lot of that in our daily lives. So take a moment now. Put your hard hats on. Let's follow Christ through a building inspection. Can you do that with me? All right. So, it's a warm and sunny day when Jesus takes us to the first house. See, this house over here is built well. It's made of brick. It's made of stone. As you're getting into this house, you might have to climb up a couple rocks because it's built a little bit higher up than the rest of the houses in the neighborhood. But as you near the house, you notice that the builder didn't just build it on the sand there and on the ground, but he went right into the bedrock. He built a foundation deep into the ground. As Jesus takes it down into the basement to see what's down there, you can see that that bedrock was dug out before even one brick was laid. Jesus looks at you and says, nothing is ever going to happen to this house because I gave it a firm foundation. Now Jesus leads us with the first house, takes us over to the second house here. This second house is built on a dug-out gully some distance away. It's away from any water sources. It's away, but it's a dried up gully. As you near that second house, you notice how that hard, sandy dirt kind of breaks up under your feet, right? The house just looks like the other house. It's built of rock. It's got some good stone. It seems to be well built, but something's different. When you enter that house, you don't notice a foundation. There's no basement. You know what? There's not even a slab of concrete holding this house up. Kids, how's that house going to last? Not very well, is it? But you know what? It's away from any water sources. The weather has been beautiful here. It's no big deal. The owner confidently tells you what could possibly happen. Well, you know what? Let's fast forward a couple months. It's not so warm. It's not so sunny anymore. The rain's come down so fast. It's raining and it's pouring. The winds are starting to blow. As that storm comes in, those winds are starting to blow water up into the gully. Destructive winds are blowing. Soon, waves are crashing up against the sides of this house. One owner starts to watch as his house starts breaking apart. Suddenly, with a big crash, as we heard in the gospel lesson, the owner and his house get swept away, never to be seen again. Yep. This isn't like the fellowship hall when we had a little bit of water dripping in to the windows before the walls were sealed up. This is a real storm. That house was not built on a firm foundation. The other owner, though, the one over here whose home was built on that bedrock before even one stone was laid, he dug down into it. He watches with wonder. He's looking and, boy, this is interesting. It's a pretty major storm. You've been through some of these storms in your life. You've been through some of these storms in your own houses, I'm sure. But you know what? Just like Jesus said, nothing is going to happen to your house. I built it on a firm foundation. As we think about those two homes and we reflect on the story that Jesus gave us, what kind of foundation do you have? Is your home, your earthly life, built? We've talked the past couple weeks about that kingdom of God, how it's here and near, how we have that identity of righteousness, how we're able to practice living as kids of the kingdom, living in that righteousness. But where and how is that foundation built for you? From the outside, our houses are all looking the same, don't they? We all go to church together, we go to Bible class, we study God's word, we pray. But when you really look at your foundation, do you find it shaky? Do you find it uncertain? Do you find that it's not holding up real well? Earthly life is built on the weak foundation of how good of a parent you try to be, of how hard of a worker you are, how good of a student you are in your studies. Or do you find it built on the uncertain ground of subtly trying to prove to God how good of a Christian you are? Do you find it's built on the shaky sand of material things that you own? Do you find that you're questioning if God's even there in your life? You see, we live in a world right now that so often bases our importance, our reality, on earthly things, on collecting the most things, on knowing the most things, on stuff. It's pretty easy to build our homes on that shifting sand of our own strength, of our own knowledge and our own ability, on our own intelligence, or being pious enough, trying to be just good enough for the next person to see. Such poor construction happens when we don't listen to God's word. He wants us to be intelligent. He wants us to have things, but he wants us to focus on him and his word. When we ignore how God condemns our homes because of their original corrupt foundation of sin, it's that our foundation crumbles. Jesus warns us in verse 28 of chapter 7 in Matthew, a little bit later after that gospel reading, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." So what happens when the storms of this life wash away the sand? What happens when image, strength, or stuff fails you? What happens when you're faced with illness, with guilt, or death? what happens then? If your life is built on such a weak foundation, the floods of God's judgment shake it to your core. They leave you wondering, what do I do? What's this life all about? What's important? How awful it would be if all we can look forward to is the ultimate judgment and the ultimate destruction in God's judgment where Christ comes in. Because we can never measure up. We're never good looking enough. We're never smart enough. We're never rich enough. We're never good enough for what God demands of us. We can never measure up to His expectations. But you can only survive if Christ is your foundation. Christ proved Himself to be that solid rock, that perfect example when He stood firm against all the storms and attacks. When He outlasted the devil for 40 days out in the desert. When He was tempted by Him over and over again. When He was hanging on the cross, suffering, pain, being spit upon, laughed at, and He looked down and had every opportunity just to get off that cross with His power. And said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Christ proved Himself to be that sure foundation, that perfect example for you and for me. Christ becomes your foundation of bedrock when He sends His Holy Spirit to anchor you in faith. We can hear in the Psalm 62 from King David when he says, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken." With our lives anchored in Christ, the storms can do nothing. Yes, our strength can fail. Yes, materials can pass away. You know, when we think back to Job, boy, God, but he did lose everything, didn't he? The rains will come down, the streams will rise, like Job had to suffer. But you know what? Christ will be that firm foundation, always with you. We can be with Job and say, "God is there for me." As the Psalm in 62, as David continues, "My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge." Once Christ has laid that firm foundation, it's time to build that house. Christ has provided the tools in His Word. If we continually and daily study His Word, we will hear words like Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your Word is a lamp unto my path." We can find that His Word is the sharpest power tool ever made to build our house. In fact, in Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow." In fact, it always is going to accomplish what Christ desires. We hear in Isaiah 55, "My word will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." So we know that God's word guides us. It cuts us. It comforts. It tells you exactly what you need to hear, no matter what your situation is. He is there to guide you and direct you. Whether we're suffering, whether we're joyful, whether we're sorrowful, whether we're feeling strong or in a weak situation, most importantly, it tells you why you desperately need Christ. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, we hear, "God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we become the righteousness of God." And finally, it reassures us in John 3, 16, that we can know that God so loved the world that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Isn't that amazing that God gives us those words of assurance when we need them? All we have to do is turn to Him, talk to Him, and seek Him out in His Word. The only way that you can use that tool, however, is if you get into and stay into God's Word. How about you? Is 1 hour a week in Bible study and Sunday school and another hour in church enough? Is that where your foundation is made? We find that the storms still of life still rage. Sin still daily threatens us and threatens to ruin our homes and our foundation. You know, when we get done with confirmation class or we come from Bible study and worship, you can't just put your Bible up on the shelf. No, you need to use these words. You need to use these tools to continually build your house, that foundation that He lays for us. Which foundation are you laying in your life? The one built on the bedrock of Christ, or the one that can easily sweep us away if we're not continually building on Him. We talked last week about righteousness, that as kings of the kingdom, Jesus made us righteous. Just before the parable, Jesus tells us that at the beginning of Matthew 7 in His Sermon on the Mount, that it's not easy. In fact, that there's going to be things in our life that will try to challenge our identity in Christ. There's going to be false prophets, as we find in verses 1 through 6, that He talks about, I'm sorry, in verse 15, that He's going to talk about they're going to come and try to skew your view of what Christianity is all about. Before that, in verses 1 through 6, we're going to have people come and give us a desire to judge. And that's not our place. And in between that, it talks about how we need to ask, seek, and knock on the door for Christ. He wants us to come to Him. Ask Him for those things that you need, that you want. Ask Him. And as we daily get into the words, we'll be guided into those things that He wants us to ask. We are His children, as His heirs, living in His righteousness. We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry that we are not His children, but we are His children, redeemed in His blood. Christ gives us two other tools that we don't want to forget about as we build our house. In His baptism, the Lord actually transformed us from being condemned to being holy and new through His word, through the washing away of all of our sins. Remembering that baptism, God uses that tool to remind us that we are His children daily. The other tool that we can remember, that can use, is the celebration of His body and blood through Holy Communion. With these amazing tools, our Savior prepares. He renovates our house. He renovates those spiritual homes until finally it's time for us to move in to those mansions of heaven that He's up there preparing for you and for me right now. Thing is, it doesn't stop there. There's countless people out there right now that don't know this, that are living with a foundation that can crumble and fall with the first stone that comes their way. I know you know who these people are. In Mark 16, verse 15, it says, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." Think of some friends, some neighbors, some relatives. Do all your acquaintances have their house built on the bedrock? Or are they in a situation that one job loss, one friend passing away, one parent, one untimely situation can shake them to their very core? Jesus is inviting you, and He's inviting me, to share His love with them, to share these words of assurance that He is our bedrock, our foundation. But you know, we can't do this on our own. We can't do this without the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, through us, and with us every day. Without Jesus being our King, without your heart completely sold out for Him, we can't do this. You know, if you think back to the Michigan football season last year, there's a lot of things we might not want to remember. Not this year, but last year. But one thing that comes to mind are those yellow t-shirts that all the students wore. You may remember the phrase that was on it. Two words. All in. Remember that? All in. Are you all in to build your foundation on Christ? Are you all in to share that foundation, that love that Christ has with those that are building their house on something not so strong? Be all in. So what kind of foundation do you have? Only when your life is built firmly on Christ and His word can you weather the storms of this life and the floods of God's judgment. Only then can you know and have that assurance constantly, daily, that He is there for you. With that, we can be sure to say, as the hymn writer once wrote many years ago, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare to make no other claim but wholly lean on Jesus' name." If you know the last line, say it with me. "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Say that again. "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Amen. in that